Bill, I know you might not have gotten a chance to really see Buzz all over the last few days, but what were some of the things you liked about him?
He had a, I believe it was a appendectomy a little bit ago, so that's why he hasn't been able to, you know, kick full force yet. He's going to be fine. He'll be able to kick in the OTAs. But, again, it's about competition on the roster. And, you know, after the draft, we try to find some guys that we think fit that mold of being able to come in here and compete. And he was one of those guys.
What were rookies get it more than maybe the rookie camp, or was there a point where they're learning curve doesn't?
You know, that's a good question. You know, every day, you know, there's probably three meetings per day. And then in between the meetings, there's either a walkthrough or a practice or another walkthrough. So they have to apply the new things that they've learned to the next stage. So they go from this meeting, they've learned something new, they go to that walkthrough, they apply it in a walkthrough, then to practice. And so, yeah, there is a lot of information that's thrown at these guys. It's pretty interesting to watch these guys, how they learn, how they process through that information, and then eventually be able to put it on the practice field. And, you know, for these 2 days, give these guys credit. They've been on time. They've worked hard. It's a good group to work with.
Bill, once the season gets underway, along with the film study and what they're doing, do you test your guys on a regular basis?
Oh, we tested them this morning. We test them on many things. We test them on you know, obviously X's and O's according to their position and their unit. We test them on their knowledge of their teammates. We test them on knowledge of the organization. We test them all the time. You know, I think it's important to, in a 3-day camp like this, is to continually work their mind, not just stand up in front of them and talk to them and show them film. Hey, let them talk a little bit. What do you know? You know, what have you studied? And that's what we try to do.
Bill, I know your focus is the group. Would you mind talking about Max Bullock, what you like coming out of college, what you like seeing here?
Yeah, you know, again, it is, my focus is the group, Mark. You know, I do, and I appreciate the question. I think these linebackers have come in and they've worked really hard. I think Max is a guy that's come in here, and he came from a really good college program. He came from a program run by Mark D'Antonio, who I have a ton of respect for. You know, coming from the Big Ten, Mark has built that program into a Big Ten champion. And so, you know, we knew he was well coached, and he's come in here and worked very hard with the other guys, seems to be communicating well and doing the things that we're asking him to do in the first 2 days here.
You've used music in the past to help communication on the field. How are these guys communicating since they are just getting to know each other now?
It's been okay, James. You know, it's been okay. I wouldn't say it's anywhere near where it needs to be, but you're right. That's why we do it, you know, to try to force the communication. Because as coaches, when we get to games, which we're a long way from games, but we're not out there on the field to correct their formations or correct their, you know, how they adjust to a coverage adjustment or adjust their coverage to a formation. You know, we're not out there to give them the answers to the test. So it's important to, you know, crank the music up a little bit and let those guys figure it out. And that's what I really enjoy about the music and you know, to be able to watch guys communicate, and then we can correct the communication, you know, which there's been a lot of corrections on that this weekend, which is good.
Bill, when you got Suafilo, who obviously had a great football career at UCLA, you watched him, but you didn't have him through drills. Do you pay particular closer attention to his footwork now that you have him in camp than just grading game film?
You know, I think you pay attention to everything. You pay attention to...
Yeah,
of course, you know, with linemen, the true test of a lineman is in training camp when we put the pads on, no question about it, whether you're an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. So it is knowledge of assignments. It is technique. It is, you can, you know, look at an offensive lineman and how he punches in pass protection and how he tries to stay inside out and how he assimilates himself into the running game as far as knowing his assignment and things like that. And all those guys, not just Xavier, but they've all come in and have had a lot of information thrown at them. We've put in, you know, several runs. We've put in several pass protections, and it seems like those guys are grinding it out and learning it as best they can.
Is there a position that you feel like has the most to catch up on going from college to pros?
I don't know if there's any one position, Tanya. I think that's an interesting question. I think that the jump from college to the pros is such a big jump. The talent level is so much higher. The the speed of the game, the multiple looks that you see on defense and on offense and all the things that you have to learn. You know, in college, it's hard because those guys got to go to class. So, you know, you only have them for a certain amount of time during the day. Here you have the guys from 7:30 all the way till, you know, tonight around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. So you're able to give them a ton of information and then go out and practice it and correct it and go out and do it again the next day and the next day. And so I think the overall jump, it's not one position is harder than the other to make the jump. The overall jump of a college player to the pros is it's very difficult.
Bill, we focus a lot on your players. How do you like the synergy of your staff out there during the first?
Well, we have a strong staff. You know, we have a staff that's experienced. We have a staff of good communicators. We have a staff of guys that, you know, work really well with each other. You know, again, I think we have a staff of really good teachers, you know, guys that have taught a lot of systems in their careers. We have a staff of experience, whether they had a, you know, ton of experience as a coach or maybe the combination of playing and coaching. So, you know, we took our time putting this staff together and it looks to me like a strong coaching staff.
Are these guys in NFL shape in your mind?
No. And that's one thing, you know, and that's not their fault. They you think about what they've done since the end of their college season. Their college season was over, and they immediately pick an agent, and then that agent begins to help them by placing them in places to get them ready for the combine. So they're doing a lot of combine drills because they have to sell themselves at the combine. You know, preparing for the draft is such an individual type deal, and now they're a part of a team and they have to come in here and you know, be a member of a team and understand again what teamwork's all about. In addition to that, the conditioning, you know, is really lacking because they've been doing shuttle runs and, you know, 40-yard dashes and, you know, broad jumps and vertical jumps, nothing that has to do with the conditioning of playing football. So, yeah, they're way behind on that.
Is it pretty easy to tell the guys apart, that the ones that come in and are fully ready to take on the NFL and the guys who maybe are picking up that transition a little slower, football being a job for them?
I would say that it's all about the same. You know, certainly there's different levels. Everybody's a little bit different as to how they come into a pro football program, a pro football organization, but it's relatively the same. They don't know much about what we do, and that's not their fault. It's not something that it's their fault. They haven't been here. You know, they don't know how fast we practice. They don't know how we call plays on both sides of the ball, how we do special teams. I just talked about conditioning. They're not in top condition like the veterans are that have been here for a long time or have played a lot of football. So I'd say everybody's starting at basically the same spot there.
Do you think you and your staff are getting information about these guys and how they take to your coaching styles?
Definitely. I think you can watch how a guy, you know, listens in the meeting and then how he applies it on the field, you know, and how he gets better from drill to drill and from 7-on-7 to the next 7-on-7 or from a team period to another team period. I think you can really tell how guys are learning, and maybe some of that we have to go back as coaches and figure out a different way to teach a guy. Maybe he's more of a visual learner. Maybe he's more of a, you know, learning off of film, or maybe he's more of a guy that needs to go out there and walk through it a little bit more. So, you know, we're figuring these guys out too as we go along with this group.
How is Pagan coming along?
Pagan?
Yeah.
He's doing fine. You know, he had a little bit of an injury coming out of Alabama there at the end of the year, and he's with us now, and he's doing fine.
Bill, how are you going to work your kickers once they start doing OTAs? What's your philosophy on having guys kick, how much they kick, competition level?
Just the same way we would work any position, you know. Try to make sure that everybody gets reps. I'm not saying that all the reps will be equal, but everybody will get a shot. And, you know, like I told these guys earlier this morning, you know, when you get your opportunity, you got to make the most of it. You know, if you listen to a lot of the veterans around here, for instance, Shane Leckler, you listen to his story when he first started out in Oakland. You know, he had a small window of opportunity to make that team his rookie year, and he took full advantage of it, and look where he is now. One of the best punters in the league. So, you know, every opportunity will be a little bit different, but everybody will get a shot to show us what they can do.
All those things in the locker room this morning, but didn't see him on the
Who's that?
Lewis Nix.
Yeah, he's, you know, I felt it was important that we let him go back to Notre Dame and walk with his graduating class. So that's what we did. So he was in the morning meetings, then he left. He had a 2 o'clock flight back to South Bend, and then he'll be back you know, later on tonight or tomorrow morning sometime. Or excuse me, tomorrow night or Monday morning sometime.
He won't be working with you tomorrow.
Yeah, he won't be working with us tomorrow, no. Yeah, I mean, I think if a guy, you know, has a chance to walk with his graduating class, I believe it's important to let the guy go do that. You know, I think, you know, he's paid his dues at Notre Dame, and, you know, I just think it's important to allow guys to do that. He's not going to miss much time. Any time missed is not good for him here, but that's, you know, something he'll have to figure out how to make that time up, and I'm sure with Bill Kolar, he'll figure it out.
when you watch George coach, George is very much a product of you because you coached him as a college quarterback. Do you look at him and see a little bit of you in him?
Nah, you know, everybody's different. You know, I appreciate you saying that. I had a great experience coaching him. You know, he was he'll go down in Georgia Tech history as one of the best quarterbacks to ever play there. He's in the Hall of Fame there, and it was fun to coach him because he was a really smart guy. And then when he got into coaching, you know, we obviously kept in touch and formed even more of a friendship. And, you know, then we were able to get him up to New England. You know, I told Bill about him, and Bill interviewed him, and they had a good talk, and we hired him there, and he was there in 2011. And then I went to Penn State, and he stayed there and coached the tight ends and learned a lot about what they did there in New England while I wasn't there. He's his own coach. He does things his own way. He's got his own style. He believes in the philosophy of what we have here. We're trying to have a smart team. We're trying to have a fundamentally sound team, and, you know, he's doing a good job out there.
Obviously, and he knows what you want, though, because of your long-standing relationship. That part's easy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important as a leader, as a head football coach, that everybody knows what you want, you know. But I think I'm a firm believer in you hire these guys to coach, to let them coach. And we have, like I said before, we have a strong staff of coaches, and he's one of them. And we let these guys go out there and coach. They each have their own style, their own way of communicating. And so far, it looks like it's going pretty well.
Yeah.